Okay, I want to quickly recap the last three shiurim because we introduced basically three issues at the onset of the series, and I think that we just addressed one of them, and in this shiur we'll move on to the second of the questions, and then ultimately the third question over the next couple shiurim. But first, let's remind ourselves what those questions were, and what we've said so far, and what we need to say now. We said that the domain of Hashkafa lacks clarity, in, you know, objectively, and especially in respect to the domain of Halacha. We said that there are basically three areas that we, or three ways that we lack clarity. First of all, how is a Hashkafic idea developed? What is the process of developing it, and what are the criteria that it must meet in order to be deemed a legitimate Torah idea? Because to the untrained eye, it just kind of seems like the different Rishonim, the different Balei Machshava, are just kind of suggesting, you know, this is what I think is true, this is what I think is true, this is what I think is true. Wonderful, but you don't get to do that for Halacha, right? It's not like the Rambam comes, okay, here are Hilchot, you know, Sukkah. I feel like the best way to celebrate Sukkot is just to go out in nature and live amongst the trees. And, you know, there's no, you don't get to do that, right? There's, okay, what do the Pesukim say? What do the Mishnayot say? What do the Gemaras say? Very clearly there's a process. And that process is kind of lost to us in the domain of Hashkafa, as opposed to Halacha. That was problem number one. And problem number two is, what are we supposed to do? It kind of just seems like, you know, everyone develops their own hashgafa, has their own opinions on what's true, what's not true, based on, you know, well, I heard in this Dvar Torah that I thought was really nice, that the following thought, you know, or I'm a Rambam guy, and I read the Rambam, and, you know, I'm a rationalist thinker, and so I think the Rambam was always right. And more likely, and more frequently what happens is you read this piece in the Rambam, this piece in the Ramban, this piece in the Kuzari, this piece in the Ramchal, this piece in the Maharal, and you don't really know how things fit together or don't, and you just have this kind of odd amalgamy of perspectives that are about 5% of the picture, you know, that you're supposed to be painting, and every different opinion that you seem to be following in this area of thought as opposed to that area of thought don't actually work together in a cohesive way, are probably all contradicting one another. You hold like the Rambam in this way, meaning that if you hold like the Rambam for A, you should also hold like the Rambam for B, because it is based on the same principle. But there, you read the Ramban's opinion, or you're only familiar with the Ramban's opinion, so you hold like the Ramban in B, and your whole perspective has no, you know, coherency. That's what, you know, more often than not happens to us. So we lack clarity in how exactly we are supposed to build a hashkafa for ourselves, as, you know, as the title of the series, building a hashkafa. We don't know how to do that. We just kind of read whatever we read, and what seems truthful to us, we're like, yeah, that sounds good. And what seems untruthful, we're like, no, that's probably not the shot. And then the last problem is not just on the process by which we are supposed to determine what our hashkafa is, but the last problem is that all the necessary sources to discuss these topics have not been organized in the degree to which halacha has been organized. The halacha is a Beit Yosef. In the halacha, there is a Sikkum Sefer on every area of halacha, you know, that comes out, a different Sikkum Sefer, you know, every couple months, and a different entire work that's aimed to summarize everything that's been said in a halacha up until this point, you know, once or twice in every generation. You'll see that in Pinnei Halacha now. And Rav Avadia did the same thing, you know, in his time. And the Mishnah Brura did it, and the Aruch Shulchan did it. We have no lack of places that you can look to find all the legitimate opinions on halacha and how we paskin. Where am I supposed to look to find, you know, a good summary of the different perspectives of the ideas that are put together in a coherent fashion, one that I can follow, and one that I can, you know, get clarity on the full picture of the full hashkafic picture? So that was problem number three. Up until now, we have answered problem number two. We have addressed the point of, you know, the degree to which the halachic process is similar to the hashkafic process, and how much that mandates or requires that we don't draw the conclusions for ourselves, rather that we ask for a psak, or rather that psak exists and that we ask for a psak in the domain of Ashgafa. What we haven't addressed, which we will over the course of the next couple shiurim, is, okay, well, what is that Hashgafic process that the Rishonim themselves followed? Right? What are the criteria whereby you can determine whether something is a legitimate Torah thought? How does a legitimate Hashgafic idea come to be? Why do we define it as one? What are the differentiating factors between what we might call secular philosophy and what we might call Jewish thought? So that was problem number two, which we'll address over the course of the next couple of shiurim, Ritz Hashem. And then number three is, you know, obviously 99% of the work, which is, okay, I understand the process and I understand what's incumbent upon me as an individual. Now I need to work through the sources that discuss these ideas and gain an understanding. And what I'm trying to do is put them all in one place in an organized, coherent fashion, because I've felt for a long time that it's lacking. So that's what we'll ultimately move on to. But first, let's deal with problem number one, which is, okay, what constitutes a legitimate Torah thought? And this is going to take us a couple of shiurim. So first of all, you know, we have to determine how a legitimate Torah thought is arrived at. By halacha, we kind of understand psukim, mishnayot, gemaras, more or less. But what is that process by which we determine what is a legitimate thought? So in Derech Hashem, the Ramchal writes as follows. He says, "V'hine karati shema sefer hazeh Derech Hashem." So this is in his Hakdama, where he's explaining why he called his sefer the Derech Hashem, you know, the way of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the way of God. "Ki hine hu kolel midracha, yidbarach shemo, shegila lanu al yidei neviyah v'udeinu b'torato." He says, we're essentially trying to do here, what I'm trying to do in my sefer is to explain to you his drachim, his MO, how he operates. That's what we're trying to explain. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates and interacts with the world. Shegila lanu al yidei neviyah v'hodianu b'torato. And how do you hope to understand or to know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates? Explains the Ramchal, his you know, modes of operation are those which he revealed to us through his Nevi'im, or which he told to us in the Torah. And that right there constitutes basically the two primary modes of understanding ideas, understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu, understanding how Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world, understanding those truths that lie at the foundation of the Torah. Not that we figured it out for ourselves, but that how the world works is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us in his Torah, or revealed to the Nevi'im. And we now, for all intents and purposes, have two primary sources for determining truth. Read the Torah, and anything that is suggested in the Torah, as we saw very clearly in Rashi in the second shir, and in the Ramban, you read the Torah, and in it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you a lot about what is truthful and about how he interacts with the world. Additionally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed a lot of these ideas to his Nevi'im. And so if we learn the Navi and that which the Nevi'im passed on to us, we'll get a better sense, you know, that is another place to learn where these ideas come from. So it's important to mention that right off the bat, what we're seeing is that the endeavor of clarifying Hashkafa, the endeavor, the domain of Machshava within the Torah is very, very different than a domain of, let's say, secular philosophy, where secular philosophers basically postulate, you know, what they think is correct based on what seems reasonable to them, what seems logical to them, based on their just analysis of their reality and what people do or don't do, how the world does or doesn't work. They do a lot of looking, watching, analyzing, thinking, and they postulate, you know, what may or may not be true. Whereas the foundation of a Jewish ideology is very different because it actually needs to come from God in order for it to be deemed a legitimate idea. And that, you know, that differentiates what we're doing from what secular philosophers are doing 180 degrees. That being said, it's not the only perspective on the matter. In fact, you'll see in the Chovot Levavot, in the Hakdama, that the Chovot Levavot also addresses this point of how exactly do we go about clarifying what is true. And he says as follows, V'sharim shepitach b'hem abore ladat torato v'dato hem shlosha. Three avenues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for understanding his, you know, for understanding Torah and for understanding religious thought. Three avenues. Hachad mehem ha-seichel, ha-nitzal mekol pega, ha-sheni sefer Torah Torah netun l'moshe ha-nivyo, ha-shishi ha-kabalot shekibalnu mekadmonenu shekiblu min ha-nevi'im aleh ha-shalom. Right, so the last one, we'll start with the second one. The second one, he says, is Sefer Torah. That, we saw that the Ramchal says the exact same thing in Derech Hashem. The third one is a bit of an expansion on what we saw in Derech Hashem. Because Derech Hashem said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to his Nevi'im, and the Sefer Levavot says that actually, they're not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told to the Nevi'im. It doesn't stop there. It's not like you read, you know, the Nevi'im and that's all we have. Rather, there's a Mesorah that our Chachamim have going back to the Nevi'im. So any Divrei Chazal on these topics, on matters of Hashkafa, are not just Divrei Chazal. They're a Mesorah that Chazal have going back to the Nevi'im. So that's significant because Derech Hashem said, you know, you learn the Nevi'im, and that's where we learn these things from. Whereas the Chovot Levavot is saying it's not just in the Nevi'im. It's not just like reading Navi. It's not just reading, you know, the Nevi'im Rishon and the Nevi'im Achronim. That really what we have here is a Mesorah from the Nevi'im that was passed down to the Chachamim. And if you learn Ma'amarei Chazal, that's actually an extension of that Mesorah that we have for learning what is truthful. But what's really introducing something new, where we really go into untrodden territory here, is in the first way that he mentions, the first avenue that he mentions, which is the seichel, the intellect. It seems that, according to the Chovot Levavot, we not only have the classic ways of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build our Hashkafa, we not only have extracting as much information as we can from the Torah, extracting as much information we can from the Nevi'im, learning the Mesorah that Chazal passed down to us. It's not only that. Actually, we have the Seichel as well. And the Seichel, our intellect, our logic, our intellectual abilities are also able to clarify for us truthful ideas, and we're not limited to just what we got Torah Mishmaim. And that would, of course, make at least part of this process more similar to the process that maybe secular philosophers follow. But we need to clarify all three of these avenues, which we'll do in the coming Shiurim. But more specifically, we need to clarify the more dangerous or risky, kind of shaky avenue, which is that of the Seichel. So we'll clarify where, you know, how exactly we are supposed to understand proper Hashkafic matters from the Torah. We'll understand how the Nevi'im and the Chachamim have passed down these traditions to us. But we'll also understand the degree to which the Seichel can be used in determining truth in the domain of Hashkafa. So that, of course, we're going to see some degree of debate. But what we'll notice is that kind of l'chule alma, according to everyone, it's not a free-for-all. You know, once we introduce the seichel, it doesn't mean that it's a free-for-all and it's disconnected from Jewish sources and anyone can basically just think and postulate whatever they want. It still must conform to Jewish, to accepted Jewish thought, but there is debate around, you know, kind of the freedom of the seichel to determine what is true. And that's what we'll see, Mirtz Hashem, in the next year.